What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
BT, you don't need to be a golf expert to realize that that was anything but a masterpiece from Rory McIlroy. He did all he could to choke that one away yesterday, starting with the first hole. And, you know, I was following along a little bit, but really picked it up around 17 where Rory hit that beautiful shot before then choking again on 18 to force the playoff. It was just, as a fan who wanted to get into it in competition, throwing on the Masters, I had people texting me yesterday, how much are you going to watch? I'm like, nothing. I'm going to watch the Mets, Yankees. And then because the Met game went the way that it did, I flipped over the Masters and there was drama there, so I was curious to see what happened. It was just, to me, it was too much.
Did you get into it?
It was too much. I was into the competition. It was too much to take. And to make it like Rory had some great round and all he had is masterpiece. That was anything but a masterpiece.
So to me, I think the masterpiece that we're used to is, you know, going low without any sort of implosions. Like, you know, Tiger rips off 8 or 9 birdies, shoots a 65, 66, and it's just, it's Coastville, right? I think it was an unconventional masterpiece. The reason why I think it was a masterpiece, I'm not sure I would have used that description. Yeah. I know that Jim Nantz said
And we know why he did it.
Of course, if we're the career Grand Slam and everything that he's done. But generally, Sal, in golf, and we could go back to whether it was Wingfoot or countless other occasions with Phil Mickelson or Greg Norman back at Augusta back in the day and several other times. Rory Spieth has had this happen to Jordan Spieth. When it goes off the rails in golf, it usually stays off the rails in golf. And I don't think, if you're an average golf fan, I don't think that you enjoyed it yesterday as much as the golfer that's out there hacking away on the weekends and beating balls and following the game and following the stories. Because the volatility to Rory's round and his ability, quite frankly, to rebound from that and make sure that he won, it was a masterpiece. It's just not one that we're used to looking at.
Sorry, BT. Well, for me, it's got to be a masterpiece based on, like, he should have blown away the field. You go into the day yesterday where he was at, to double bogey on hole one, no good. To, again, throughout the round, start to miss putts and choke it away a little bit. And then even right down to 18. So, for me, it was almost he won by default as opposed to beating Rose. And I'm not trying to take away from what Rose did, but obviously down the stretch, I mean, in that final playoff hole, now Rose was sitting on ice for a while and it was having the warm-up rounds. I didn't get great competition. This was not Rocco and Tiger back in 2008, whatever it was. I wasn't getting that to where you had the ultimate triumph. It was more, here's how I felt as a casual. I felt Jim Nantz was shoving Rory down my throat, begging him to win with the stories, the nauseating, elitist stories that you get with golf. And I wanted to enjoy it as a fan and root for somebody. I don't care. I wasn't rooting against Rory necessarily, but it was just over the top, like forcing the issue, and he didn't even play great. So I'm supposed to sit there and say, wow, that was incredible. Yeah, it's a nice story. It's a nice finish to the story, but I would have preferred it had he actually played a great round from start. He was one over for the day.
There's two things that I can't relate to in golf. Number one, coming out and going low. And number two, coming from a family of endless affluence where I'm hitting balls on the most pristine courses from the time I'm three or four. So I've never related to that. I will never be able to. I don't want to relate to that, really. That's not necessarily what I'm looking for. But the elitist description that you use, and I know what you mean, and it definitely applies to a lot of aspects of golf, but it doesn't apply to Rory. And that's why this is a good story. It's a heartwarming story. Remember, Rory was the guy. Now, you could say, well, Rory, you're a great golfer. You're an awful business person when everybody else is bouncing for a live and getting $150 million, $80 million, $60 million, $90 million, $110 million. Yeah, sure, come over. Take the Saudi money. Forget about the PGA Tour. Rory stood there, you know, for shoulders, you know, for strong and chin firm and said, you know what? No, I believe in the pedigree of the golf record book. And yeah, money's great, but I got enough money for five or six generations. I'm not going anywhere. So for him to come out and double bogey, and we've seen this a million times, man, where a guy, even whether it's a big name or an average name, right, comes out on Sunday, stumbles early, and is either first or tied, first or second or third, right there prominently on the first page of the board. And by that, because of the early stumble, you look up 2 hours later, they're not on the first page, they're midway through the second page because they don't have either the fortitude or the focus or the game or all three to will themselves back into the round. Sometimes I know that things are more sellable, if you will, especially to the average fan, which is kind of what we're talking about, when it's, you know, Tiger going 17 under or Mickelson being Mickelson or Jack being Jack. But the beauty of golf is how it really just puts all of us at some point down to our knees, like, stop, mercy, uncle, I give up, you got me. And he had every reason to do that, not to mention the demons that, from a golfing perspective, float around this guy's head. The fact that Rory McIlroy was able to win, quite frankly, is amazing the way he started.
Well, because he's a notorious choke artist? I mean,
that's part of it, Sal. Think about the first time that, when Aaron Judge finally cracks through in October, right? And has a big, like, has his Reggie moment, his A-Rod moment. Before you get to that point, think about what Aaron Judge has to mentally deal with, knowing he's already failed so much. I think you're minimizing the baggage that comes with overcoming failure on the most public stage.
I wouldn't say I'm minimizing it, but he did the same thing again yesterday. And in my mind, the only reason why he won is because others were worse, DeChambeau specifically, where he couldn't get off to a good start. Maybe things would have been different if it were him going toe-to-toe with Rory, as opposed to Rose, who, I'm not minimizing Rose, I know he's been a tremendous golfer, but it just never felt like it was equal footing. Which then you go back to, okay, well, what drew me in as a younger fan? It was behemoth versus behemoth, Tiger and Phil, the top guys in the game. This is not even Dustin Johnson at his peak. It was basically Rory's tournament, especially when DeChambeau choked it away in the beginning. It was on Rory, and he tried to give it back. How could you not? I wouldn't even be saying this, BT, if he played clean on 18. Mm. If he hit that pot and won the Masters, that would be it. Even with the early round struggles behind him, even with the score being similar, I know it's one shot we're talking about here, but if he made that and didn't have to go to the playoff, it would have felt like a cleaner, more, I don't know, a win that could be celebrated more, especially using the terminology, Rory has his masterpiece. The fact that down at the hole 18, you had a chance to hit that putt and win the Masters, and he blew it. That's a putt you got to make. You want to be Masters champion. And he didn't, and then they go into the playoff round and he won anyway. More so to me. Now, he played a good hole, of course, in that.
Yeah.
But I think it was the competition that, because of the lack of quality competition, especially on the final round with DeChambeau doing what he did, that's what I think Rory won.
But I got to tell you, I think that we conveniently position, whether it's, and these guys all have the career major, a Saracen, a Holger, a Hogan, a player, a Jack, not throwing names like Arnie, throwing all the great names of all time. We make it seem like these guys just coasted the final three holes and went birdie, birdie, birdie.
Right.
I guarantee if you went through even Tiger, not like the 2000
all
season.
Right. Not everybody playing great.
Guaranteed, guys. Stuff. Did you win or did you not?
I mean, but
did you recover or did you not?
Understood. But to be won over on the final Sunday of the Masters, that's some great accomplishment. And now, so let's spin it forward, right? So now he has his Grand Slam. Am I supposed to look at Rory? And I like Rory, by the way. I know it doesn't sound like that right now, but easy to root for.
He's the likable guy.
Yeah,
it's hard to dislike Rory, really. It really
correct.
Is.
Same thing, unless you're, what was her name? Caroline Wozniacki or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
So, I like the fact about the live stuff. I like that Rory stood strong to your point. I like the fact that, all right, here's a guy. And I used to love Greg Norman, a guy who choked it away, too. So I like the underdog, a guy, you blew that. Come on, get back to it. Yesterday, I couldn't help myself but root for Rose because I just felt badly
you
for him.
You rooting against Rory?
I wasn't rooting against. I was rooting. Here's what I was really rooting for.
Yeah.
The damn thing to end so I could walk my dog. I mean, I'm watching the Met game, and then I was fine with the 18. Just finishing after 18. Rory missed that putt. It cost me an extra 30 minutes here. Trying to take my dog out for a walk. But I wasn't rooting against Rory. I just felt, you know, you're rooting for individuals here. And I felt bad for Rose, who had an opportunity to win the majors for win the Masters for the first time, at an older age, and he just
he would have been the oldest.
Yeah,
by the way,
that's what I'm saying.
He would have been 42. Would have been the oldest to ever win the Masters for the first time.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
And
so,
just as you know, he's a world class player.
So I like that aspect of it, but I wouldn't say I was rooting against Rory. I just found it, and maybe it's just Nance throwing on thinking. Maybe these golf fans. I'm curious to find out. 888-808-1019. Maybe golf fans like that elitist, just forced. Vomit-inducing buildups. Oh, Rory's whole life was about this. But you were mentioning before. Like, come on, dude. All these stories, like, enough. I just want to watch the competition, and I don't think Rory was great yesterday.
See, but the difference, I got you, and he wasn't great. Right. No, I'm just lauding him for recovering when he could have imploded and shot a plus five on the final round and maybe never been the same golfer moving forward ever again. If he would have collapsed again, my goodness, I don't think he recovers from that.
That would have been a big time storyline.
Man, I think that would have been more about the implosion than the celebration or the coronation of the victor. It would have been the complete opposite here. But I'll tell you what, like, golf is about storytelling, and I get it, some of it's corny. I'm sure much of it's embellished. Do I really believe?
Come on.
Do I really believe that Rory's dad said, all right, son, not getting paid until Tuesday. Here's a little bag of balls. Hit everyone like it's the last shot. There's no way I believe that, but you can loosely extrapolate the poor nature that, you know, the poorness, if you will, that Rory had growing up and the focus and the determination. And I can at least piece it together loosely enough where, all right, it's not like Rory grew up in a mansion and his dad owned the driving range. I'm sure that his dad was a blue-collar, you know, fighting, scrapping, scraping, clawing just to put together some sort of menial existence for his family. I think we all appreciate that for sure. But I think at the end of the day, I think because of when you started watching golf, and me too, by the way, when you started watching, you are forever penalized because it will never match Tiger, no matter what happens.
Excellent point. And I just saw the scroll. We have ESPN on here, and he's the first to have the Grand Slam since 2000.
Tiger time.
That's my wheelhouse. But you're going back 25 years, so it is a great accomplishment. Yet, for me at least a little bit, maybe it is just because I'm skewed because I grew up in the Tiger era. Maybe it is because I didn't think that it was a terrific performance from him yesterday. Maybe there's a little bit of that aspect from it as well. I just don't look at it as this great accomplishment. Again, maybe it's because I'm a fringe golf fan, but either way, Rory has his masterpiece. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Frank is in Central Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's happening, Frank?
Two things. I agree. Rory didn't play very well. DeChambeau took himself out of the tournament early, but the rest of the field was coming after him, and they kept posting the scores on the scoreboard, and Rory knew what was going on. So I don't think he played great, but it is the Masters, and he won, regardless of how you look at it. And number two, Nance needs to shut up.
Tired of Jimmy? Tired of Jimmy, huh? He's amazing. I think Jim Nance is great.
He was laying a
little
much.
Thick. Thick yesterday. I'll even say that.
I'm just not one for the corny, like, overly dramatic.
Simpson character.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm feeling like. Nance is whatever. That's the thing for the golf. But I'm clearly not the audience he is targeting. I am the opposite of whatever elitist golf people are watching and getting all wet about the idea that, here we go, look at this drama. Now, I will say it was a beautiful watch. Mm-hmm. It's enjoyable to sit back and just watch
it is.
The best in the world do what they do. So there's an element to that. On the point of where he was saying guys are chasing Rory down or coming for him, don't you think it's also easier playing when you know, like, Rose is in the clubhouse with his score from Rory's perspective as opposed to going neck and neck?
I think it's harder.
Interesting. Okay.
I think, because think about that. If you and I are on the golf course,
right,
there is always the chance that I have a stumble and you get a birdie and you go past me. Whereas if I know you're in the clubhouse, I know that I, like, there's only so much I can stumble,
right,
where I won't have enough room to recover because something's already been posted.
But at least you it's know. Tougher. Yeah, for me, it's a good conversation to have, interesting thought. For me, I'd rather, I think, know what the other person has. It would make me feel more comfortable as opposed to you're going neck and neck and you're really battling and, uh-oh, this is what Rose did on this hole. DeChambeau did on 16. I really better pick it up here. I think that could add a different element of pressure. But, I mean, pressure either way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got to tell you, one thing that I enjoyed about the Masters more so than usual, and again, there's been, you mentioned Greg Norman, there's been colossal meltdowns.
Yeah.
I think he rinsed three balls, but at least two, when he imploded all those years ago back at the Masters. But it's generally, maybe not on Sunday because the pin tucked away, it's generally become a birdie fest. Guys hit the ball so far, and you play the same course every year. You know what's bad, what's good. And if your golf swing is in the proper spot before you start the tournament, these guys, based on their skill level, they can hit the ball to where they need to get without being penalized. You make a couple of putts, you go low, right? But and after a while, it becomes a little boring to me. Again, the Masters looks, no other tournament pops on TV like the Masters, but it's become fairly predictable to me, which is why I love the U.S. Open, because I love pain. I love these guys grinding through and looking for their balls in the weeds and then whacking out of the weeds and, you know, this, oh, a double bogey, like losing control of the wheel where they sit, no matter how great they are, no matter how world-class they are, no matter what their resume says, they simply look like us, like we do. And I think that that's a great thing, very relatable. The Masters generally doesn't look like that, but when it did yesterday with Rory, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Mickey V is calling from Westchester. What's up, Mickey V?
Mikey. Yeah.
Oh, Mikey, I'm sorry, Mikey. That's my bad. What's up, Mikey V?
No problem. Do you golf, Sal?
A little bit. Not really.
Not really? BT, you're a huge golfer, no?
I'm not very good, but I've played a ton. I love the game. Yeah, I love it.
Dude, yesterday was a great day for golf in general. I had all my boys, I had multiple chats going on. People that don't even talk about golf were saying, dude, are you guys watching this Masters? I know Rory didn't play the best, but, you know, he did win. And Nance did, he laid it on thick, but that's, but that was the beauty of it. You know, that was the beauty of it that, you know, it was a great, you know, outing. It was, the ending was great. You know, Justin Rose missed, you know, the last and the 18th. To get the playoff, and I'm puzzled, like how you were like, oh, I didn't want it to end.
He bogeyed he bogeyed on 18. Yeah, I wanted it to be over with. I watched the drama, put it away at 18. I mean, it was getting late. I got to take my daughter up to sleep. I got to walk my dog here. I was watching the Mets, the Yankees. Is it too much to ask to not have to go into a playoff the first one in what, 8 years?
Yeah, but sometimes we don't get this. Like, we were all, like, you know, looking forward towards this. Like, we knew, like, me and my boys knew that this was going to be a good day.
Yeah.
And it was going to be close. And they delivered.
Well, Mikey, you know, think about this, Mike. Mike, yeah, thanks for the call there, buddy. Not often, but more times than I think we would like as golf fans, the result's already in doubt. I mean, listen, if, again, you and I are playing and I've got a 7-stroke lead, I could very well come out and put up a 9 or 12 on the first hole if, like, I count every shot. That's us. When those guys are up by multiple shots, as often is the case in majors on Sunday, it's anticlimactic. It becomes really about a 2-hour coronation as they walk the final 7-8 holes and, you know, just, you know, par, 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 par. Take risk and chance out of the equation, which for them simplifies it to a level that none of us could relate to. I think the volatility, the mental anguish, Rory's personal story, Justin Rose's story, DeChambeau kind of still lurking but awful, you know, going to live in a villain. That's why I said unconventional. It was unconventionally amazing.
Right, but for me, the way that you painted it, we've watched both tournaments where we know who's going to win and the coronation. Now, the drama of this, ooh, maybe Rory chokes it away. That gets more people involved in seeing what could happen here. But also, if Rory had a big lead and you flip it on, if you're a casual like me and you flip it on hole 50, whatever it is, hole you want to catch up, and you're watching, even if he's got the lead, you're still watching him go to work and work on finishing his masterpiece. I would be okay with that, knowing the big picture story is that he's going to try for his Grand Slam and finally win the Masters. So this was different in that it had both aspects of it, although I felt like the head-to-head, because of Rose already being in the clubhouse and because of who it was, all respect to Rose, not one of the big dogs right now going toe-to-toe with Rory. So because of that, it never felt like it was in jeopardy. It was still about Rory choking it away. And I would have appreciated, I think, more, not the drama, but the appreciation of the coronation, if he just were dominating from, let's say, hole 14 or the day on, and you knew he was going to win that tournament and have his green jacket bestowed upon him.
So basically, a little too side doorish for you. A little too side doorish.
Yeah, I think, so I said before, I think he backed in because of DeChambeau choking it away, and then Rose obviously not having a good playoff. Either way, it got me involved, and it's fun to talk a little golf here, you know, off of the Masters. We'll get into baseball as well a little bit later on. Knicks as well. Draft, there's a lot going on this week. Busy time in the sports world. We're talking Masters, though. BT, it's out.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the Fan. You know, just thinking about it too, BT, I'm not one of these guys, you know, I'm not a huge golf fan, but I am into golf and I do like it. Play on occasion, whatever. That doesn't really matter in my mind. But for me, it's still, I don't want to say that it's not a sport, because obviously it is a sport, and I do respect the great golfers that we watch. But without somebody trying to stop you, other than yourself, I don't think that the achievements in golf are as good as the achievements in the other sports, at least for me.
I hear you. I would say that it's very relative. I could also make an easy case that the hardest opponent is yourself.
Right, but
when the brain gets in the way, it's over.
Agreed, but you do have to deal with that in the other sports as well.
Yes, but it's not as amplified as it is in golf. I'll give you an example. So you're Malik Nabers, right?
Yeah.
You're going up again. You run the 4-4. You got all the measurables. You're a stud. You just need a quarterback to get you the ball. Maybe they have it this year. You're lined up against a corner who is as fast, right? Now, it's the snap, it's the engagement, and then it's back to the huddle, and then there's a little 10, 12, 15 seconds of lag, and then it's a series of repetitive movements.
You're not thinking as much.
You're not thinking and about it here.
Baseball,
and, you know,
though, I could argue the other way.
Yeah, oh. No. If you're on the mound, I think that's true. Baseball, there's more of an isolated existence. You know, now it's different with the pitch clock, but, you know, whether if you're in the outfield and you're in a 2-for-29 slump and you just don't feel like yourself, I mean, you can just spin yourself out of who you really are for a while. So I just think it's a personal view on how one views the brain during competition.
Yeah, I just think that there's a mental aspect to all sports, and maybe because there's more thinking in golf, that gets amplified. I think it was one of the detriments to Rory yesterday in 18 where he stepped up for that putt, and to me he didn't sit there and ponder it the way you saw Rose do so in the playoff where he was taking forever. Even Nance alluded to that. I thought Rory tried to step up and kind of hit it without thinking, which to me showed that he was thinking. He's telling himself, oh, don't think too much, just go up here and hit it. Instead, hey, take a deep breath, relax, and make sure you nail this. And he didn't. Either way, Rory wins the Masters, and for me, it just was not an impressive round of golf. Let's continue the conversation on the phones. 888-808-1019. Mike is in Oceanside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
I just think you're wrong on this, Sal. I think it was phenomenal theater. You have basically the face of PGA versus the face of LIV. You have Rory go down a stroke right away where in past he could crumble and let the whole day get away. He comes back. He fights back. Then he's got the field chasing him, basically. And then you bring in back Justin Rose, who was the 36-hole leader, for a playoff. I mean, it was just, to me, I mean, I'm a somewhat golfer. I just think it was one of the best Masters ever.
So, Mike, you enjoyed more that, and that's interesting, than, saying watching Tiger obliterate the course or Dustin Johnson obliterate the course. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
it was almost like an underdog story. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want.
You know,
well,
he,
I mean, Rory's not an underdog.
A little bit.
Yeah, he was probably one of the betting favorites, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and with all due respect to Scottie Scheffler, you basically have the two faces of golf, the two most popular guys in the last grouping. Going out. I mean,
wouldn't it have been better than Mike if it were Rory versus DeChambeau or Rory versus Scheffler? One of them. I'm not trying to minimize Justin Rose, but you know what I'm saying? Like, for me, that drama.
Well, no, but it started out with Rory versus DeChambeau.
Yeah, DeChambeau choked it away, and that's my point. And thank you. I'm sorry, Mike. Thank you for the call. Good stuff. That was kind of my point, BT, is that, would have been, had they been going toe-to-toe, head-to-head all day long, DeChambeau choked it away. You could see his frustration after the round. He knew he gave it away early. He was never in it after that.
Yeah, to me, if I need one thing that to me is non-negotiable when I watch golf. I need to know, or at least feel, that the person that I'm watching has, now we're all fallible, obviously, but has real fallibility. Like, that's why I cannot relate to Scottie Scheffler. I have never enjoyed watching, and he's amazing. He's all time. But, like, that autopilot, not emotional, just, power through and methodically plowed through 4.5 hours of golf. I need the occasional blow up. I need to see Phil do something stupid by, taking out the driver rather than playing it safe with a wood. I need to see Patrick Reed, explode. I need to see Brooks Koepka, show real emotion. Like, that's what I relate to. And to me, there's so much fallibility. It's going to sound like a contradiction because he's one of the best players of all time. But there's such a fallibility with Rory based on, his demons at Augusta and some other things in his life, I felt that coming through the TV, and I need that to watch golf.
I liked your question, though, to our last caller, where wouldn't you rather watch a like me personally, I'd rather see Tiger dominate a course, or whoever, Rory in this case, dominate a course, or dominate a Sunday, go out there, win it going away, but dominate, earn that Masters, earn to me that Grand Slam. I'm not saying he didn't, but you know what I mean. Really cement
more
it.
Emphatically.
As opposed to kind of, in my mind, backing in with the best competition choking, and then Justin Rose just not being able to, you know, have a good playoff. Maybe if the playoff were drawn out a little bit. It was one hole. It was over really from the first shot.
You suppose you had like an aggregate set up there. You play a couple of holes, see what happens.
Or just beat him in 18. I mean, Rory could have easily, even without all that dominant talk that I'm bringing up here, even without all that, if you just hit that putt on 18, this would be...
That's true. That's true. Well, you mentioned the Rocco Media Tiger Woods showdown. That was back in 08 when Tiger had the jacked up knee, wound up having surgery shortly. As a matter of fact, he actually got hurt further when he was doing a celebration when he sank a long putt. Remember, he celebrated with his caddy. And can you imagine today? Now, the Masters doesn't do this. That's fine. Can you imagine if we had 18 holes coming up today? Between Rose and Rory today?
You know why I remember that? I forget what the tournament was. It was US Open?
That was US Open. Yeah. It was out west. Yeah.
I remember it because I was working on Frances's show that day.
Yeah, Mike loves his
show. So clearly it was a weekday.
Yeah.
Monday, the wraparound.
Yep.
And I remember we were all watching and get into it. I was more into it then anyway because of Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it being a big thing on the air that day with Mike.
Yo, God, yeah.
After all watching it happen, you know, live, it was great.
No, to me, like, listen, golf talk on the radio could be interesting. Like, it could be. And I think that, you know, I think what the average person needs, they got to get sucked in, which is obviously what I feel. You know, that's why I use the word fallibility and who I relate with and what resonates with me as a golf consumer. But to me, go back to what you said about, say, you know, Tiger Woods, let's say, or anybody, but we'll take Tiger. Tiger coming out, shooting a 64 or 65 on Sunday and winning by, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 shots.
Red shirt dominating.
Oh, for sure. Right. The red shirt, the walk with the shoulders, the strut up the fairway. We know the whole Tiger experience. We'll never see anything like that again. But to me, that's not exciting because, like, sitting on, maybe it's more exciting in person. Me sitting on my couch, which is how I choose, even though I've been to a bunch of events, I'd rather be on my couch. Like, Boomer said the same thing. I agree. I would rather watch golf on my couch than be at some of these events. But watching, all right, wow, Tiger wrote that, you know, 347 off the tee. Wow, Tiger stuck a 7-iron a foot and a half from the pin. Like, okay, to me, the theater comes when one dude drains a 9-foot putt, and then the next guy's got about a 12-foot putt, or actually, you know, and it, you either sink it or it just kind of floats by the hole. Like, that's when there's an energy that is very rarely replicated in golf. Like, you get that in football, the oohs, the ahs, basketball, dunks, hard fouls, home runs in baseball. You don't hear when somebody bangs one 370 off the tee. It's just like, you know, like, right. And to me, I don't get that when you're blowing out the field.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Joe is in Glenhead. What's up, Joe?
Joey.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to compare. I know you guys aren't huge hockey fans, but, you know, 2024, Panthers go up 3-0, and then Oilers make it interesting in 4-7, and, you know, kind of get everyone back on the couch. You know, for me, you know, fellow casual fans, like, you know, Rory's up, you know, two or three strokes, and then it's like, you know, I'll catch 17th and 18th, but I don't know. I found myself checking in, you know, at the back nine because, like, wow, you could really blow this. You know, everyone's coming in. Rose, DeChambeau is still hanging around. So I, you know, I thought last year's Stanley Cup was great. I thought the Masters was great. Kind of want to get.
I like the thought process, Joe, and thank you for the call. The first one that comes to mind for me. See, obviously, it's different with the 7-game series, but here's where I like the comparison. In the 99 NLCS.
Mm-hmm. Diamondbacks? Is this where
Mets Braves, 99 NLCS. I never, to this day, valued the Robin Ventura Grand Slam single as much as others because the Mets were down 3-0 in the series, and I never realistically, down 3-0, especially at that point, this was pre-Yankee collapse, down 3-0, I never felt like they were going to win the series, even though they won game four. Then the Grand Slam single, Game 5. I started to get my hopes up a little bit, but I never loved or appreciated that win or moment as much as other Met fans because the being down 3-0. And maybe that's a similar thing here where, okay, it was a nice accomplishment. Now, obviously, the Mets lost that series. But this is a nice accomplishment, but it would have meant a little bit more to me or felt better had he put it away without having to go to the playoff, or had he played better from hole one on.
Yeah, I just don't see it that way at all. To me, it's just the up and down, up and down, up and down. He's cooked. He's back. He's cooked. He's done. Where is he? Like, I believe you had equal parts people rooting against him, like to just to see the finality of the implosion.
Right.
Honestly, and as many people were rooting for him. Here's the thing, Sal. I think whether you play once a year in a corporate outing or you play 25 times a year and are a scratch golfer or a 20 handicap, whatever, it doesn't matter. But to me, I think it was impossible, which is why I think yesterday was awesome, impossible to watch yesterday and not feel something. Whatever you felt, I don't know. You guys know what you felt.
Right.
Whatever, but you felt something. You weren't on autopilot. You weren't like, nah, this is over. Right, I could go walk the dog. I could go get the car washed. I can go out to dinner. You're like, I can't lead this because I don't know what's going to happen. And listen, there were different rooting interests, obviously, and different storylines, but everybody that watched it felt something. Yankees are very lucky in one regard here, and I'm not surprised that this is the case, but no one's running away with this division. And I think it's going to be like this all year. So while the Yankees struggle with Rodon and the rest of the staff, which outside of Freed is stunk, the Jays are 9-7, the Yankees are 8-7, Boston, even with Crochet's gem, they're under 500. The Orioles, we thought they would bounce back or might. They're three games under. I mean, I know it's still early. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's early, and the numbers are what they are, and it's still very early. And Hill will be back, and Schmidt will be back before Hill gets back, and that should help things. But 15 games in, man, this seems like a 90-91 kind of win total for this division.
Do you think the Yankees have been a better watch than they were a year ago?
Do I think they've been a better? Probably not. Because think about it. Just to be honest with you here, the way the season started.
Yeah, with the rain and all this stuff.
No, the home runs with all the torpedo bats. Like, I mean, you wipe that away there, or it's like watching paint dry for the most part, which is kind of odd because, Judge has been terrific. Goldschmidt has been terrific. Ben Rice has been terrific. Dominguez has shown some signs and some other players as well. But, the defense has been spotty. The pitching has just been atrocious. The starting pitching has been awful.
I just feel like, and maybe there is in my mind at least, the wet, like this weekend was just a disaster with the weather starting with Friday night, but it just hasn't felt. I thought that we talked about this going into the season. Will the Yankees be a more enjoyable watch this year, meaning playing the game the right way, playing cleaner baseball more often this year than last year? We know the excitement of Soto and Judge, but just in a different way.
Mm.
And I'm still seeing too many strikeouts, sloppiness, still learning curves for some of the younger players. It doesn't mean that they're not going to win or win the division, but it is very early. But it has been, to me, an ugly start for the Yankees season.
Well, it hasn't been incredibly pretty. You got to piece this together. I think that, Devin Williams was at it again over the weekend. Here's a walk, here's a hit, got out of it. I think that was that Saturday?
Yes,
I'm pretty sure it was Saturday. But, like, my goodness. So, even when Schmidt comes back, and Clark Schmidt should be good, and, hopefully he'll comes back, we've still got to see what Devin Williams evolves into as a Yankee, not as a Brewer, as a New York Yankee. I think they'll be a playoff team. I thought that before the year. I don't think they'll win high 90s. It's not going to be a gaudy total. I think some nights you watch them, it's going to look gross. And some nights you watch them, they're going to look terrific.
Ho-hum, the Mets won another series, 10-5, first place in the NL East. More on baseball.
A triple-A ballpark for a triple-A team.
More on baseball.
Can you play the Marlins again, though?
We'll get back to the baseball in a little bit. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Back to the Masters. Randy's on Staten Island. What's up, Randy?
Hi, how are you guys? Good morning.
Good morning,
Randy. What's up, buddy?
I think if you actually went back to Thursday and Friday, you would get a better appreciation of what Rory actually did.
Fair.
Because at one point he was -5, and then he fell apart on 15 and 17, I believe, and he was actually 8 shots off the lead. And at that point is where I stepped in and opened up my FanDuel app, and all of a sudden he was +1,200 for the win.
Did you
bet
it?
He actually battled back those 2 days. He came back on Saturday on 15 again. He eagled 15. And then on Sunday, he had a chance for eagle. He hit an epic, epic shot on 15 to come back and put himself back in position to actually win it.
That's fair. Randy, that is fair. I did not follow it the whole way through. Like, I'm not watching. I was checking the scores a little bit, just paying attention to it, knowing, you know, where I'd be on Sunday. My question or counter to you would be, what was Rory's worst round of the tournament?
Sunday.
Yeah. And then, thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. That's my issue. His worst round was on Sunday. That's how he closed. Now, he did win it, but his worst round of the tournament was on Sunday. That's a problem to me. So did he win it? And you're right, digging out of it, and that's fine. But is that more about him or more about the competition or lack thereof in this case?
I think that, maybe not for you, I think that that detail, which is stating a fact, that was his worst round, I think that kind of gets thrown in the wash over the years and just dissipates. I don't think people are sitting here saying, I don't think in 10, 12, 15, 20 years, hey, remember when Rory got the career slam, but boy, he played like ass on Sunday. Did you win or did you lose?
No, they wouldn't, but if you watched it on Sunday, you'd realize this is what a masterpiece looks like.
But it's the same course that the other guys weren't bringing to its knees. I mean, you know, you play in the same conditions. Again, you'd love to finish birdie, drill that 10-footer, roll it in left to right, bang, punctuated with the fist pump, and then have Jim Nance do some sort of description that was actually fitting of the moment. Then that's ideal. But, you know, not everybody has a walk-off home run in the World Series like Joe Carter. Sometimes you catch a foul ball like Charlie Hayes.
Maybe that's my issue with it, is that I felt that Nance was forcing the issue and leading us to what he wanted to be, this dramatic, great moment. And he already had the predetermined call in his head. This is not picking on Nance. It's just the golf commentator in general. But Nance is the best of them all. And I was watching him during the Masters. But you felt he was force-feeding that story. Rose was a side note. The idea of the lack of competition was a side note. It was all about Rory. And he couldn't even hit a measly putt on 18, which would have even been a great thing anyway. He couldn't even hit that to complete, you know, a normal round and winning. He missed that, and it was just delaying. It felt that he was delaying the inevitable, but Nance still got that call and enforced the issue. Look, he won. You're not going to take that away from him.
Yep.
I just don't think it was an overly impressive victory for Rory. In total, sure. On Sunday, absolutely not.
What's the first rule of being a play-by-player? An unbiased reporting of the situation, correct?
Let the game or the competition.
Well, I certainly don't. I think that's number two. Don't let yourself become bigger than the game. Which I don't think Jim Nance was doing. I'm going to give him a pass on that. But I do think if Jim Nance is guilty of anything, it's allowing his emotions for Rory, which are very favorable, to seep into the broadcast. Guys, let's not be dummies here. Let's step back. Jim Nance loves golf. I think more than I think anybody I know, outside of family, loves anything that you could possibly love. You know, he was roommates with Freddie Couples at Houston. He said that he said this the other day, or I guess a week ago, he wants to go up to the 100th Masters. And God bless him. Jim Nance is an all-time titan of broadcasting, okay? But the emotional, and maybe on some level, but financial, but really the emotional investment he's got in the PGA and in somebody like Rory versus a live guy. I mean, imagine Jim Nance being Jim Nance for the Tigers and all the other stuff, and then suddenly half the tour splits up, they go take Saudi money, and you're left with the remnants of what was. So I think any chance, and that's what happened, I think any chance you get to prop up what was and to remind everybody without saying it, hey, listen, you know, these guys took the money, this dude stuck around for you, and to prop up the tour and keep it from closing its doors, I think Jim Nance's affinity, and I don't really have an issue with this, but again, this did happen. Nance's affinity for Rory and the PGA Tour led him to overdo the call.
More of your calls when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.